Hello and welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host. I want to let you know that Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is not safe for work. We are teachers at the end of the week having drinks and relaxing in our little communal nature. And with these drinks, we talk about stuff, and we know schools can sometimes get a little interesting, so we keep ourselves anonymous by using pseudonyms so we can keep our jobs. Teacher Needs a Drink is sponsored by Lud Lam Dramatics Educational Theater Posters. If you need educational theater posters for yourself or the theater teacher in your building, go to ludlamdramatics.com. That's LudlamDramatics.com. Use the code TNAD15 at checkout to get 15% off your order. That's Teacher Needs a Drink 15, you know, TNAD. Anyway, if you're interested in sharing a story with us, you can tag us on Instagram or Facebook, or go to our website, TeacherNeedsADrinkPodcast.com, and contact us. Please, if you can, subscribe and leave a 5-star review, all that good stuff. I really like this episode. We talk about some things that we're all kind of passionate about, and I hope you enjoy it too. Well, welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Enjoy.
Just start saying that every time you mess up.
Every time now. Eat. Welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I'm Elvis, your host, and today with me, I have Mr. Yoda. Mr. Yoda, how have you been?
Very well.
That good, huh? That good, eh, Yoda?
Wow. Yoda's doing great, y'all.
Had to think about that.
And across from me, I have Ms. Bunny O'Hare. Ms. Bunny, how are you doing today?
I am loving life, Elvis.
I'm glad you're here. And then I have Ms. Sparkles. How are you doing, Ms. Sparkles?
I'm pretty fantastic, Elvis. Thank you for asking.
I am glad. I want to start with an article that's been all over my social media from lots of teachers. And the real reason it's going through, it has a really clickbaity article, but the concept behind it is kind of interesting. I like to talk about it. From CNN. Ms. Sparkles, will you share with us this article the best you can?
U.S. Senator and Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris introduced legislation this week intended to align the school day with the traditional work day to reduce the burden of childcare on working families. The Family-Friendly Schools Act would extend the school day 3 hours from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. during the school year and authorize $1.3 billion annually to allow more children access to summer programming. Most public schools are open for instructional time for 160 to 180 days out of the year, according to the National Center for Education Statistics. This leaves parents to figure out how to care for children on afternoons, weekends, and holidays. For working and low-income families, paying for childcare or arranging work schedules presents a challenge. The misalignment between school and work schedules puts working families through unnecessary financial stress, a burden we know is disproportionately shouldered by Black and Latino families and families with low income, said Catherine Brown, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, in a news release. The legislation would award 5-year grants of up to $5 million total to school districts to implement programs in elementary schools serving high numbers of low-income families. The grants aim to fund programs that would allow the schools to provide academic, athletic, and enrichment opportunities to students during the extended hours. The new policies would not require teachers and staff to work longer hours and would ensure they are compensated fairly for any additional hours they do choose to work.
If they want the support of everyone, they need to actually call it is, and we want to spend $5 million per district to fund after-school programs.
Right, and that's literally what it is. It's not extending the school day.
I think that's where a lot of people were freaking out on my social media feeds when they read that, because the title was given, I think as Elvis said, a very clickbaity kind of headline. Of
Fox News title was some bullshit.
Oh, the extending CNN one's the not school much day.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, when it says extending the school day, when I hear that, that sounds like that extending means, the instructional day.
Right, like I'm going to be teaching at 5:30 at night?
No. Hell no.
I don't know. No, I don't want to do that. Mm-mm. So I actually read this today on Reddit and the comment thread, so I thoroughly enjoyed every moment of this. Am I the asshole for telling the girl who kissed my boyfriend for a play that she is desperate and pathetic? I, 19 female... Oh, wait, hold on. I have to give an accent because she's British. I, 19 female, study drama at uni, and my boyfriend is on the same course... I can't take myself seriously.
You know, Mr. Yoda studied abroad for several years. I think hand it to Mr. Yoda. I want to hear him.
Wait, but it's a girl. Oh, he has to be a British girl, though.
He doesn't have to be a girl.
It's a girl's story.
Yoda.
It's more Cockney than British. It comes off quite...
It doesn't matter.
...horrible. I studied drama at uni, and my boyfriend is on the same course. My boyfriend is really good looking, but he doesn't seem to know it. He gets a lot of attention from girls, and for the most part, doesn't seem like they're flirting with him. There's one girl in our class, let's call her Victoria, who's obsessed with me boyfriend. She goes out of her way to be paired with him in group activities. For example, if the professor picks groupings by numbering us 1, 2, 3, she will move herself to be in the same number as him. And she recently stepped down from a main role in a play we were doing so she could be in a more minor one, simply because this character has a romance with me boyfriend. I know this is the case because I've heard her say to her friends, and she thinks he's hot and whatnot. I've never said anything to her about it because she seems pretty insecure. I don't see it as a big deal because my boyfriend doesn't care. However, we recently performed the play and had a small after party where she got slightly drunk and she was bragging about how she definitely felt something when they kissed in the play. I rolled me eyes and again ignored it until she actually went up to me boyfriend. She was a little bit drunk, and when she went up to him, I was there too. Victoria started saying she knows he must have felt a spark. He's a really good kisser, etc. I snapped and sort of shouted at her that sounded, "You incredibly desperate going after somebody else's boyfriend. You're pathetic if you think a stage kiss means you should be together." She looked super embarrassed and walked away. And later I heard she'd gone home crying. Am I the asshole?
Okay, wow. We gotta give a round of
Thank
applause.
Thank you. Wow. Mr. Yoda. That was like Oscar worthy.
That's a BFA in acting right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Word.
My opinion, anonymous Redditor, is you are not the asshole. As someone who has had to stage kiss people before, and both of them had girlfriends, one of whom I was particularly good friends with. A stage kiss is not an indicator of romantic feelings. It's just blocking.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, and now we kiss because our characters like each other. Cool.
But what if you're method? Method acting, being the character, you know, it's not acting. You are the character. And so when you're kissing that person and there is that spark, but that's only if you're method.
Okay,
that's
only right
if
you're method.
Rosie's
afraid.
You right
there. I'm going to stop you right there. Just like, I don't have anything to follow that with. I'm just going to stop.
She's going to stop you right there. Yeah. She's just dead.
I've been put in my place.
Think Daniel Day-Lewis, who insists on being called by his character's names when he is portraying a character. I think the method is a boatload of bullshit. So
you're not acting at that point. You're becoming that thing, and that's not the same.
Weird. Kissing on stage has to happen, and in our line of work, we often have to counsel young people through the stage kiss moment. And I always just remind my kids, like, it's just blocking. It's choreography. It doesn't have to mean anything. And there are ways to not even really do it with, you know, the thumb between the lips and all that. So that really they're kissing, you're really kissing the thumb and not each other's lips.
Licking the nail polish.
Yeah, whatever.
Is no that tongues. What they're calling it these days?
What are you? No Elvis. Tongues, Elvis. No
That is like
tongues.
Rule number one of stage kissing is no don't use tongue. My first kiss was a stage kiss.
Oh,
yeah.
How old were you?
I was 17.
Oh.
It was super hella awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off of Reddit, Spirit Weekday leading to discomfort. Tomorrow is Genderbender Day, by another more hip name, though, in my high school Spirit Week. Students are encouraged to dress using signifiers of the opposite gender to something, something, school spirit, positive culture, student blah, 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 blah. This theme, selected by student government, was rejected last year due to unacceptable attitude and meanness around and meanness around gender nonconforming friends with feedback from a few of the gender nonconforming kids. This year, those kids are gone, transferred out, and the student government got their day under its new name. Mm. Upon announcement, there were gasps and laughs in the student body, leading to the reminder to be respectful of all identities and that we do not tolerate intolerance. Mm. Given this and other background of past events at school, I gave the feedback, shared by other teachers as well, that I don't think this day will be successful or respectful, nor do I know what a successful version would look like, and that I personally, as a masculine of center, cis female, queer, was not comfortable with that day. Can you help me with what that means?
Yes. So cisgendered means that you live your life as the gender you were assigned at birth. But basically what she's saying is that she presents more masculine as a woman. So like Bunny said, she's really more of a tomboy. Also, she's queer. She dates whoever she dates. I don't know what her personal definition of queer is.
Okay. Well, they told me that they believe in assuming the best rather than fearing the worst. And the students wanted this day back on our spirit week, or wanted this day back on our spirit week calendar for the right reasons. I do not believe there are right reasons for this day for a myriad of reasons. I am not comfortable participating and won't, but I'm also not comfortable being in the building for it, my own personal baggage. I told them I will strive to be neutral and that I trust their process, but do not share their belief in the acceptability of this day. I will go to school and teach only for my fellow teachers and protect any kids who might feel like me, because leadership really dropped the ball on this one. I don't know. It's like, hey, let's dress as an Indian, or let's dress, I don't know, yeah, like just something else.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first comparison that popped into my head was like, would you have a Cowboys and Indians Day and allow the students to dress up as First Nations Native?
They're crossing.
Wildly.
Right. Wildly offensive and inappropriate, that they're crossing a really serious boundary.
Times are changing, and they're changing very, very fast. Mm-hmm. And I think there are some parts of the country and places where they haven't really. It just isn't out there. You might live in an area where there isn't as much of an out queer presence. You might not be in an area where there are people who are more open about their feelings. And so you're just not aware of it. But it's almost everywhere at this point. Like, well, you know what? This was fine 10 years ago. When I was a kid, we all laughed about it. Well, you know, there's a lot of shit from 15 years ago and 20 years ago and 30 years that we realize is not okay now. Mm-hmm. And you might just need to kind of move with the times. I'm sure there are things now that we find acceptable that will be completely looked upon in horror, like, you know, separating kids from their parents at the border and locking them in cages. There's all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But opinions change rather drastically and rather quickly. And you could say, well, the kids want it. Well, yeah, the kids also want to eat sugar at every meal. They might want to drink soda. They probably want to have sex in the hallways. That's not really a good idea and things Yikes. To do right now.
As you were reading, there was a line about, I don't even know what doing this well would look like. And that was kind of where I was going. Like, there's no way to do that in a way that is going to be respectful and positive and supportive, because it's by nature taking something that doesn't belong to you.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways to be supportive of the gender nonconforming and trans and various LGBTQ students that might be on your campus, but that's not one of them.
We have a young lady here who's going to help translate things for us, Miss Lisa Marie.
Yes.
Tell me about the birds.
Angry birds?
No.
Well, I just want to inform everyone that the birds work for the bourgeoisie.
What?
So,
do you even know what the bourgeoisie is?
It's
Have you done any
there is
history
a video.
Of Russia and the revolution?
There is a video, and it is on TikTok, and it's this guy in a rolly chair with a megaphone going through what seems to be either a hallway or an office, and is going, all the birds died in 1960-something due to Reagan killing them and replacing them with spies. The birds work for the bourgeoisie.
Like the birds in America?
Do you know the animal birds like
us?
The ones that fly around and chirp? Yeah,
the
those are spies. They're not real.
The little black ones?
All of them. Yeah, you just broke Miss Sparkles.
They're not real. They're not real.
You know what this reminds me of? When I was in college, I knew these stoners, and they used to just say ridiculous shit all the time because it made them giggle, like, hey, corn dogs are free. You're on the wrong bus. And they'd say this stuff all the time, and they'd laugh and laugh, and like, dude, you're stoned as fuck. You're not stoned. You're just a teenager. Oh, my God.
Which is the same thing.
So all the birds... Wait, okay, hold on.
Wow. We're still processing. We're processing.
I'm sorry. I got to cycle back around here.
Is this like an animatronic situation?
So wait, but what about new birds? Like the baby birds? What about
those
the birds?
Those are fake, too.
They work for
but
the
baby. But how do being replaced? You think they're just... The eggs are just the charging stations for the non-robot robots.
You... See, this is what happens when people skip a few steps of partying in college. They don't know how to let this just roll away.
I don't.
This is beautiful.
It's just so strange.
Yoded.
It's just a strange. It's so strange, and I don't understand.
Respect the drip, Sparkles.
Respect the bird's drip, Sparkles. Okay?
But the birds aren't real.
Exactly. That's the point. It's because they're spies, and they're probably listening to you right now.
Oh, my God. We don't keep birds in the studio.
We think that they migrate, but they're actually just going back to the government bases to to give all their information to the president and other government people.
Well, okay.
All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Miss Lisa Marie. We'll have you back again sometime.
Thanks, Lisa Marie.
From Newsweek, a North Texas teacher was allegedly fired for revealing to his students that he is gay, but the school district says he was fired for inappropriate communication. Dr. Josh Hamilton formerly taught professional communications and college readiness at Grapevine High School in Texas. He was also the coach of Grapevine High's competitive speech team, which won state and national championships last year. It all began when Hamilton sent out a text to his speech team to urge the students to temporarily set aside personal matters and focus on the approaching tournament, read the text. Guys, I get it. We all have something going on, he wrote, going on to tell them about how he overcame depression and came out as a happy, functioning gay man. The next day, he was questioned by the district's human resources department. An employee questioned him on what elements of his personal life he had shared with his students, he said. He freely allowed them to review the messages on his phone and then was put on administrative leave for violating the district's electronic communication policy. On Monday, the Board of Trustees voted 7-0 to fire him, and this is in their words, and I'm just going to say I think it's bullshit, for developing inappropriate relationships with students, providing inappropriate information to the students concerning his personal life. Some of his texts were to his speech team, but 8 of the texts in question were to a student who babysits his young son. One of the accusations against him was that he mentioned he was going on a date to the student watching his child, but it was clear information on where Hamilton was going so he could be reached in emergency. Now he's fighting to clear his name and get his job back. Sitting in the boardroom and hearing her use the word inappropriate painted me to the public as a child predator. Despite the timing of Hamilton's firing, the school district denies he was fired for his sexual orientation. It sounds to me more like they're saying, well, it's because you told people you were gay. It's not because you're gay, but because you told people, and that's a no-no.
I'm wondering whether straight teachers would be also similarly reprimanded for discussing their spouses or their lives outside of school.
I talk about my fiance all the time. I might mention him, like I bring him up in casual conversation with the kids and in front of the kids and whatever. And I don't see any blowback from that at all. And so the thing that I think kind of bothers me the most is there's this expectation that if you're in a heterosexual relationship, it's totally cool to share it. But he's not allowed to share details about his life because he's gay?
And what message is that sending to our students? It's okay right. to be straight, but if you're not straight,
don't
you better keep it
anything.
Under wraps.
Yeah.
You better not say anything.
Keep it a secret. Nobody wants to know.
The other thing that I think we're not mentioning is here is just communication with students. A lot of people who have extracurricular activities, they have to maintain a line of communications with students and parents, and most of them have text servers that go out where everyone sends and gets a keyword, and so they send a text. And if it's like, okay, guys, we are meeting at the meet at 8:30, have a lunch, have someone pick you up, dress warm, whatever it is, practice your things. That is not uncommon. And it sounds like he used this and was giving a motivation like, hey, I know it's rough right now, but you guys can do this. And now they're slamming it, saying it was inappropriate. But I don't find this inappropriate. And saying he was discussing personal life with a babysitter, saying, hey, I'm going on a date. Was he supposed to say, you watch my child. I'm going to vanish now, and you can't know where I'm going.
Right. Like, what if there was an emergency, and for some reason he wasn't answering the cell phone, and the babysitter needed to call like his location? Like, do people not remember there was a time before cell phones, and you had to call the actual place? And right. Sometimes that was the best way to get a hold of someone.
Right.
Well, and I think they're taking out of context those texts, because at that point, he's not texting a student. He's texting an employee,
right?
Someone that he's hired in his personal life and is sending them a personal message. And that makes sense. Now, could it be questionable? Should he have hired a student? Yes, no, that's up for people to decide on their own. But that's completely out of the context of the situation they were placing it in.
It seems to me that the district overreached, and now they're trying to get anything they can to justify what they did. Someone was like, oh, he's gay, what's gay? We're like, well, it's because you did this. Yeah, that's not wrong.
Well, and to me, if you're going to fire this one person over text messages, then yeah, you better go through and check the phones of every single teacher you have, and you better be consistent about it. Because now what they've done, if they've set themselves up for a precedent, and anytime a teacher texts a kid, they should fire that teacher, because if your policy is absolutely not, and you've only fired one person for it, and that one person was suddenly fired after they revealed they're part of a protected class, that seems real suspicious. And if I were an employment lawyer, I would be dying to take this case.
I do not text with any of my students.
Because we're guys, and there's a different light that's pointed here. You are women.
Yep.
I get emails.
Just
that's it.
As males working, I never am alone with students. Nope. I make sure I always have another person.
Doors I'm still not either. I mean, I'm a girl, and I'm still never alone with students either.
I make a very clear point and choice to not physically touch any of my students. Like, not like I will pat someone on the back, but I generally kind of keep a very clear wall, just because it's so easy to point a finger at any male teacher and just scream, predator! I don't give my personal information to students. I try to keep it hidden there if I need to communicate. Now, granted, I teach at lower levels, so there's not a lot of extracurricular. I literally have servers that I go through with emails that go to the parents, and then they pass it down. I just don't. I mean, it's really just for me covering my ass.
Right.
And I see how in this teacher's position, how he would need to have text, but you can see here how it's being used against him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe this is justified. I think if there was justifiable text, they would be showing it, saying he had an inappropriate relationship.
Yeah.
And they're trying to paint that, but all they have is, no, he said he was gay. And he told a student he was going on a date that was a gay date. And they're trying.
And like, not a gay date.
Probably from the Reddits. Curing imposter syndrome one day at a time. Success. I'm 26 on my third year of teaching middle school Spanish. At the end of the day, I know I'm a good teacher, but sometimes I worry that because of my age and the kind of shade that gets thrown at my subject, i.e. it's not a core class, it is, it's not like math or English, people don't take me seriously. Today, I had to leave for a bit in the middle of the day to attend an awards lunch, and my team head was going to cover a class for me. We agreed that I'd get the class settled in, go over one thing with them, and then turn the class over to the other teacher. I know there are probably still people who think I don't know how to control my class or that my course is a joke, but for those 10 minutes, this other teacher was engaged and impressed with what I was able to do with these kids. Watching her watch me turn something as technical and dry as subject pronouns into something logical and fun made my day and maybe my year. that's lovely.
That's so nice.
It's nice to have that reassurance from your coworkers and your superiors sometimes, because the kids might enjoy it, but is it actually good teaching? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have that validation from your peers and from your uppers,
that's huge.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference when somebody, especially somebody in those early years who's been doing it for a while, says, you know what? You're doing a good job. It's a good feeling.
The very first year I taught, my classroom management left something to be desired in my very first year teaching.
Everybody.
Yeah. And the second year I was teaching, I was in a new school in a new district, and first or second walkthrough evaluation my new principal, and I'm really trying to, you know, wanting to impress this person, and I adored that principal, and so their opinion was really important to me. And as they walked out, they left a note on my desk saying the things that they enjoyed about my lesson and how I obviously had very good classroom management.
Oh.
And I sat at my desk and cried afterwards because it was so validating and so encouraging and so just made my day that I still remember it 15 years later.
All right, friends. Thank you for joining us today for Teacher Needs a Drink podcast. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Clink, clink.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink podcast comes out every Wednesday, except for when school is out of session. So next week, Thanksgiving, we will not be releasing an episode. I'd like to give a very special thanks to Bunny O'Hare, Lisa Marie, Mr. Yoda, and Miss Sparkles for helping me out. And of course, a big hug and kiss to Miss Priscilla, who hung out with me throughout all of this. Teacher Needs a Drink podcast is brought to you by Ludlam Dramatics Educational Theater Posters. If you need posters for your theater teacher in your classroom, go to ludlamdramatics.com. Use the code TNAD15 to get 15% off your order. If you have a story you'd like to share with Teacher Needs a Drink podcast, you can tag us on Instagram or Facebook, or go to our website, teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com, and reach us through the contact site. Please subscribe and leave a 5-star review if you can. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you in 2 weeks after Thanksgiving break. Cheers. Don't blame Priscilla.
She even started to spin the marbles.
That sounds such douchey there. Such douchey.
I am such douchey.
Such douchebaggery.
Yeet.
When Elvis is in drag, like right now.
Dear listeners.